Lent brings up an idea that is as old as time, where we consider the brevity of our days, that we overhear it in prose and poetry and music, like the song that says, "If we found out the world was going to end on Tuesday morning, what would everybody do?" It's funny how the thought of that can make something real important, and a lot of things pretty worthless too. But I'd be dancing like a fool. I'd be laughing, I'd be crying, calling everyone I had hurt and reconciling. I'd call everyone I loved and say what I was scared to say till then. Now that I think about it, maybe I should always live like the world is gonna end. It's not meant to be discouraging, but rather disarming. Thinking about the brevity of our days, and strangely enough, it can even become life-giving. It's why we begin Lent by saying, "From ashes we have come, and to ashes we shall return." Considering the gift of the days at hand. And the prophet Isaiah extends a similar invitation to the people of God trapped in captivity, exiled in Babylon, that the leadership of the Persian Empire has shifted, and now they have the opportunity to go home. They can return to Israel, but they hesitated. That it had been more than a generation since their families had been brought against their will to Babylon. So Babylon was all they knew. They couldn't remember Israel. So they had to reclaim some things that had been lost. They had to be open to the calling of God. So Isaiah says to them, "You that have no money, come buy and eat," which is a rather strange invitation. It will not cost you any money, but it will ask something of you, which is always the case with the calling. That Isaiah is worried that the people will remain in Babylon, not seeing the gift of the days at hand. That they will hold on to costly things of little value instead of reaching out for that which matters the most. That Lent should come with a warning label on it. May cause dizziness, because it turns us around and it is more than a little disorienting, because it gives us a dose of mortality. And the symptoms are laughing harder, crying more, and even calling those that we have hurt and reconciling. But when we have the courage to consider the brevity of our days, it changes how we see each conversation, each relationship, and each and every day. Apparently, there's even an app for that. It has the terrible name We Croak, where five times a day this app reminds you of your mortality. It's not what I need my phone to tell me, but it comes with mixed reviews. Some people give it 5 stars. Others give it 0.5 star. Because it can cause more anxiety than it can relieve. That we have to be careful with Lent so it does not end up being discouraging, but disarming, or even liberating, clarifying for us what it is that truly matters. As one writer says, I need more than the occasional reminder that I wear ashes too. We find a similar dynamic in the parable of the fig tree, where it calls us to see the gift of the days at hand. And I fell in love with this parable at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where the pastor, Raphael Warnock, was preaching on this marginalized story. Begins with a dose of mortality, talking about 2 tragic events. The first, where Rome rises up to push down this small rebellious group of Galileans, reminding them that they are under the rule of oppression. They are second-class citizens. They are forced to recognize the authority of Caesar and not of God. And second, a tragic event where a tower falls in the middle of the city, hurting a group of bystanders. It's the tragedy of innocent suffering. And after recalling these 2 events, Jesus asks the question, do you think these things happened because the people were evil? But before anyone has a chance to answer, he quickly says, no, that is not why these things happen. That he simply reminds those who are listening that life is fragile. And then he tells the parable of the fig tree, where the owner of the land is wandering around, taking inventory of all the crops. And he sees this fig tree that has not produced any fruit. So the owner says, well, let's tear it down and plant something else in its place. But the gardener, who takes care of the land each and every day, says, wait. Let's not cut it down. Let me tend to it 1 more year. That it would require hard work. Rolling up his sleeves. It would ask something of him. But the gardener said, it is worth 1 more year. It was about that time in the sermon where the energy started to gather in the room, and preacher and congregation were talking back and forth to one another, and Reverend Warnock kept saying over and over again, 1 more year. And that's when I fell in love with this parable. Because even though life is fragile and brief, there is always time for the grace of God, for another opportunity to laugh harder, for another chance to cry more, for another time of calling those we have hurt and reconciling, another chance to spend our days on what matters the most. Because Jesus says, 1 more year. because there are things we know that are not quite worth our time. Like certain kinds of anger. That there is anger over things that matter. That what matters today will still matter a year from now. Thinking of how the weak are taken advantage of. Power has this tendency to corrupt. But then there are other things that won't matter even 2 weeks from now. Like when we walk through the kitchen and out of the corner of our eye, we see that the dishes are piled as high as Mount Olympus yet again. Or we rush out in the morning because we're late for work. We hop in the car and we turn it on, but we see that needle hanging below empty where someone borrowed our car and left it that way yet again. Or there is that eye roll that turns us inside out and we lose it every time. Or we blow up in the moment where we know it's not really about the moment, but it's all the stress and frustrations that we have absorbed throughout the entire week. That anger, in many ways, is intoxicating. It can make us feel powerful. It can make us feel in control. But it can leave us with regrets. And Lent can help us clarify what it is that truly matters, that what will matter in a year is all that matters today. And not those other things that will evaporate in even 2 weeks. That we can focus our anger on what really matters. On innocent suffering, on protecting the vulnerable, on the oppression of others. Letting go of lesser things, where in our spite we might not even raise our voice, but we say critical words about someone in their absence that we would never say in their presence. Or out of our frustration, we engage in superficial culture wars, fighting the wrong battles. Or because of the pressures around us, we fail to see an opportunity for friendship, kindness, or compassion. But Lent can make us dizzy because it is disorienting or reorienting, calling us to new ways of living where when it seems there is not enough time to begin again or to change or to keep trying. Jesus says, one more year. And in those three words, in no way, shape, or form, do they call us to look to the past. They only look at tomorrow. So we can put down lesser things. Any regret we might feel from yesterday, or any fear we might have about tomorrow. Because Jesus says to each of us, one more year. Amen.